Welcome to the Grill Room. On the menu this week, all the latest news, views, and opinions from the world of professional golf. Your maitre d's are Bob Bubka and Alex Maselli, two friends who rarely agree on anything. You can count on them to give you both sides of the story, whether you want it or not. So come on in, have a seat, and remember, anything that comes from the Grill Room is definitely on our tab. Remember, keep your applause to a mild clap, all right? After all, we're talking golf here.
The West Coast swing rolls along, and the Grill Room is there to talk about it. Alex, you're out there in sunny California. A lot of people jealous about that. I know the weather's been great. And to me, it's hard to imagine two prettier places back-to-back, Torrey Pines and Pebble Beach, and now you're going to Hogan's Alley, Riviera, in Los Angeles. And as we spoke just before we began the show, Alex, you had one complaint. As usual, you're saying it's too hot.
Well, I mean, you're just used to... It's kind of funny, Bob, because yesterday I was in San Francisco, and my good friend Jim McCabe looked at me and said, "Now this is San Francisco weather. You had a little fog rolling in. It was cool. You know, it wasn't, you know, 50s. It was in the low 60s, but it was a little damp. But it was just perfect. And it's like, this is what you're used to. This is what you think you're going to get when you come out to these places. And when you get 80 degrees and sunny and the whole nine yards, it's, I don't know. It's just, you're just not used to it. That's not what you're expecting."
Yeah, but I believe you have to admit, and, you know, I have been to Pebble Beach many, many times. When you get good weather at Pebble Beach, there probably is nothing on the planet that duplicates it.
No, yeah, you know, and it's never really too hot. And when you get good weather, they had very little breeze, sun. It was ideal. It was ideal scoring conditions. It was ideal weather conditions. It was ideal fan conditions. I don't think I've seen that many people at that event since I've been covering it. There were people not only at Pebble every day, but Monterey Peninsula, at Spyglass, and it was crazy how many people they had there.
Well, it's amazing. It seems like that event, the AT&T, has been revitalized. And, you know, for a while there, it seemed like it was on life support. But now, especially in light of the great weather and the A-list of celebrities they had playing, the only celebrity, as far as I was concerned, that should have been playing was you.
Oh, well, I don't think we're going to go there. But, you know, I think if there is one place they could work on is, you know, it's very hard to get good celebrities that people want to see. They're lucky because the Giants won the World Series, so there were some Giants there. They had this whole thing on Monday, I think it was, or Tuesday, rather, with the Giants against the 49ers. That got a lot of interest and a lot of buzz. So they have a lot of things going on that's a positive. But the Pro-Am does very well. It brings in a lot of money. It's highly sought after if you're an amateur contestant. So that's the good thing. You want people to want to come to your event and participate.
Speaking of the Giants, Alex, I really was surprised at the size of Buster Posey, the unbelievable catcher for the San Francisco Giants. You know, you see him with a mask on and a chest protector and knee guards. You don't get the true indication of just how big he is. But to me, he certainly looked big on TV playing golf and looked very athletic.
Well, I think you have to be very athletic, but most people said they couldn't believe his size in regards to how small he was. I think I remember a movie somewhere where they kept asking the guy, they kept saying to the guy, "I thought you'd be taller because of his reputation." So I guess that's the same with Buster Posey. "I thought you'd be taller," but he really doesn't care considering his reputation and how well he plays.
Yeah, and he plays the game with a lot of passion. And speaking of passion, before we get started, we'd like to just thank Transitions Adaptive Sunglasses for being our presenting sponsor for the past 2 years. We've enjoyed being part of their family and wish them well in their new direction. You're listening to The Grill Room, heard on TuneIn and powered by GolfWeek.com. We'll be right back with Around the World of Golf.
You're listening to The Grill Room.
I'd like to welcome some of the most important people in golf to The Grill Room. Golf course superintendents. Golf course superintendents are the unsung heroes of our great game. And because of their efforts, we now have turf that needs less water, a course that is more sustainable, and one that offers natural wildlife habitats. From the days of old Tom Morris, golf course superintendents have given golfers a reason to love this great game. But don't take my word for it. The Golden Bear agrees.
If you love golf like I do, thank a golf course superintendent.
A message from the Golf Course Superintendents Association of America and local superintendents everywhere.
If a visit to Orlando is on your vacation menu, then the Grill Room highly recommends the Toscana Resort Orlando by Aston, a luxurious Mediterranean-style villa resort located right in the heart of Orlando, Florida's most popular attractions. Each spacious two- or three-bedroom luxury villa is fully furnished with everything you might need for your exciting vacation. Relax or play in the large swimming pool complex with kids' pool and jet spa, fitness center, restaurant, and state-of-the-art movie theater. Coming to play golf? Champions Gate Golf Club is right next door. And many other courses are close by and available to play, like Buena Vista Golf Course and Grand Cypress Resort. Visit ToscanaResort.com or call 877-448-8722 to make your reservations today.
Welcome back to The Grill Room. Your table's ready. Now here's Bob Bubka and Alex Maselli.
I am a traveling man. Well, I can't.
Well, Alex, before we jump on going around the world or cover the world of golf, a couple of loose items that I just want to get your comment on. Number one, Paul McGinley, unfortunately, had a lot of Ryder Cup stuff that was autographed, that was earmarked for some charitable events, had that stolen out of his car along with his clubs that he's used for a long time. I'm sure, and you had some time that you spent with Paul McGinley. He has to be mighty depressed about what transpired.
Well, he's certainly unhappy, I think, first of all, because the memorabilia that you're talking about from the Ryder Cup, he was going to give to a priest that he knows in San Francisco for an auction. The only thing that he managed to salvage happened to be his Ryder Cup blazer, which he used both at Glen Eagles and at Medina. So that sold for, at least that helped the auction out. But that was very depressing. And the other part is Paul is not a guy that changes clubs a lot. And so he's been using the same stuff for a while. He was working to transition into some of the newer stuff, specifically the driver, but hadn't really worked on it because he had knee surgery in November, his seventh knee surgery on the same knee. And so he really hadn't had a chance to work on his game much. So now you throw him out into the big end of the pool or the deep end of the pool with absolutely new clubs coming off of knee surgery and playing a golf course which with an amateur that was 6 hour round. So it really wasn't the most ideal situation for Paul McGinley last week.
I'm sure Paul had to be happy, though, with the winner, Brant Snedeker, using a driver worth $20.
Right, using a driver worth $20, and it was actually a TaylorMade driver, which I think it's that driver is 5 years old, and Snedeker's putter, which I think is worth about $14, is about 9 years old. So, you know, guys that use old equipment, Snedeker said, I ain't changing. I can't find another driver that does what this driver does. And if you find one for me, then I'll change. But until then, I'm playing this one.
Well, we'll talk a lot more about Brant Snedeker when we get to the PGA Tour and our trip around the world. And the other nugget that I saw that really blew me away, Alex, Rory McIlroy, in the last seven events that he's participated, has earned more money than Jack Nicklaus earned in his career.
Well, I'm not sure why that blows you away. I mean, Nicklaus's career spanned till about 1980. So that we're talking about, you know, almost 30 years ago, right? We're talking about 80, 90, 2000. No, we're talking over 30 years ago. So you just think that the rate of inflation alone, that's one thing. And then the growth of the purses, which is another. It shouldn't surprise you when Jack's winning $50,000 when he wins a tournament. Rory McIlroy's winning over $1 million. I mean, those numbers just don't equate.
Yeah, but seven events, more than he earned in his career, it certainly did blow me away. All right, let's start our trip around the world, and why not begin at the place we were referring to just a moment ago, the AT&T Pebble Beach National Pro-Am. For those not familiar, it is played over three golf courses, Pebble Beach Golf Links, Monterey Peninsula, and Spyglass Hill. All three similar in some ways, Alex, but different in other ways.
Well, I think the similarity is probably the grasses to some extent, and that they're on the Monterey Peninsula. I mean, after that, it's completely different. Pebble Beach is a relatively flat piece of land. There's some undulation, but you know, you got room to maneuver the ball. It's not that difficult. If you saw the scores, you clearly know that Pebble Beach is not that difficult. You take Spyglass Hill, which is with a lot of movement, a lot of up and down, smaller greens, a much harder golf course. And then you take Monterey Peninsula, which is all right there in front of you, but the greens are sometimes hard to putt, and a lot of these guys haven't played that often on that golf course, so they really don't know it that well. So you got the three and the combination. Any one of them is ripe for the taking, but unfortunately it's hard to actually do that, especially when you're playing with an amateur partner. So bottom line is usually it's a shootout on Sunday, and that's exactly what happened.
You know, the viewers of the golf tournament over the weekend, hearing so much about Monterey Peninsula and Spyglass Hill and Pebble, probably not everyone is aware of the fact that there's another golf course there that certainly probably better than all three of the others put together, and that's Cypress Point, very difficult to get on. I was just curious of whether you had an opportunity to play 18 holes while you were there.
No, I didn't play Cypress in February, and you know, people might not remember, but Cypress was part of the rotation at one point. So that was a pretty good rotation when you're playing Spyglass, you're playing Pebble, and then Cypress, thank you. So, but that has changed, and now we have Monterey. And I have to say that when you add Monterey into the mix, it is a very good addition to that tournament.
All right, Brant Snedeker wins for the seventh time in his career, a score of 22 under par. Let's give it a listen, because this was a very important victory for Brant Snedeker.
It was an emotional win for me today because it's been a long time coming. You know, last year and a half have not been up to my standard and what I thought I was capable of, and made some changes in the middle of the year last year, and feel like that I got a lot better at the end of last year and just didn't quite show it on the golf course. And to come out here and my back kind of against the wall for a bunch of tournaments I like playing in, I'm used to playing in, and to play the way I did was really special and means a lot to me.
Okay, you could hear the emotion in Brant's voice. Obviously, that gets him into the Masters, the one tournament that I think we might even be able to say to Brant Snedeker, we'll let you win the Masters, and you don't play professional golf anymore. I'm leaning that Brant might take that opportunity.
Well, I don't know about that, but I do know that his playing companion, Toby Wilt, was very happy about the fact that Brant was back in the Masters, because Toby is the guy that announces all the pairings on the tee at the first hole at Augusta National. So he definitely wanted to announce his good friend Brant Snedeker. And so that's going to be another kind of a reunion when they get to Augusta this year.
Well, a reunion that took place that I think, or maybe getting together with Butch Harmon is a better way of describing it. Certainly another success story for Butch. He just keeps grinding out champion players after champion players.
Well, I think if you listen to Snedeker, what was great about Butch is that he didn't try to change his swing. He tried to work within the parameters of his swing and gave Brandt a comfort level, not only from the swing part, but also because of Butch's vast knowledge and experiences. He could give him a lot of information from the mental side as well. And the combination of the two were just huge for Brandt going into this year.
And, of course, Sneds came off of the Web.com tour, and now 400 players that played on the Web.com tour have earned a PGA Tour victory. That is a pretty impressive feeder system.
Yeah, well, I'm not going to say it's not an impressive feeder system, but that number seems a little out of whack. If you made a drive-by at a Web.com event, you're considered to be a graduate when they pull these numbers together. So the number might be a little inflated, but it doesn't have to be because the Web.com tour is a very, very thriving tour.
Yeah, and the 400 number, it just sounds good. Sounding good in number two, and that's what Nick Watney finished. And being a local guy, he had a lot of friends and his family there. Good performance by Nick Watney.
Well, just like Snedeker, what Watney is doing is certainly a positive, making the transition from new equipment, a new coach over the year or so, and then finally getting himself in position to win. Played well in San Diego, just like Snedeker did. Played well again this week at AT&T. So you got to think you're going to see some good things from Nick Watney, getting used to a lot of different things. As a father for, it's been about a year or so now, and I guess I'm willing to say that he's going to have another child sometime in July, I believe it is, right around the Open Championship time.
Charlie Belgian, surprise at third?
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, it's not like the name you were thinking of, not the guy you were mentioning, but played very well. Talked to Pat Perez, who played with him for, I think, three rounds last week, and said, it's hard to believe he doesn't win more. It's hard to believe he doesn't do better, because he just kills the ball. I mean, he's just so long. So it's a good golf course for him. We'll see if he can show up at another venue or two, but I think length is one of the things that Charlie Belgian has, and he can take advantage of it on certain golf courses, and certainly Pebble Beach is one of those golf courses.
If you asked to name some of the underachievers on the PGA Tour based on the amount of talent they have and what they've accomplished, I think the name you just mentioned, Pat Perez, might have to be in that conversation. Extremely talented. We haven't really seen the fruits of his labor so far.
No, I think that's true. And I think one of the things with Pat is I don't want to call him a hothead because he's not anymore. But he does let things get under his skin at times. He does let things get him off track when he's on the golf course. And if there's anything you've learned on the PGA Tour, it's a four-hour-plus round. Takes a long time. You can get very upset at yourself. But the bottom line is that you, if you do that, you get you outside your comfort zone, and you make a 68 into a 72, and you really want to go the other way with that. And that's something that even today, when Pat will be turning 39 in a couple of weeks, that's something that he still struggles with.
And I was given a little math lesson by Pat Perez. When he went to Q school, he was medalist. He earned a first-place check of $50,000. I was doing a little interview with him, and I said, wow, you won $50,000, Pat Perez. He said, Bob, on the PGA Tour, $50,000, that's nothing. I said, okay, sorry, let's move on. Speaking of moving on, Dustin Johnson, nice transition. Wow, I mean, a tie for fourth, just back to the game, the last 2 weeks. Once again, I think just proving that he has a tremendous talent to play this game.
Well, I don't think anybody's ever questioned his talent level. He played well at Pebble Beach, missed the cut in San Diego. He'll be at Northern Trust this week, so we'll see what he can do. But he seems to have picked up pretty much where he left off. And that doesn't surprise me because the reports out during the 6 months hiatus was that he'd been playing golf and been playing well. So I expected him to come out playing well. I think it just took him a little while to get his sea legs under him on the PGA Tour.
And, of course, playing with Wayne Gretzky, And Dustin Johnson just had a child with Wayne's daughter, Paulina. So Dustin Johnson was on his best behavior. How about Jason Day? Tied for fourth. It seems like he has his foot on the gas right now. Tied for fifth at Hyundai. Wins at Torrey Pines in a playoff. Tied for fourth at Pebble. Wow, he is playing some golf.
He is, and I think we haven't seen the best yet. He seems to have pretty much complete control over what he's doing. Last week, his wife Ellie and the kids were all sick, including Jason. So he really played four rounds being ill. I don't know how much different it would have been if he had not been ill. But what I do know is that there was some distraction there. And you don't really want distractions when you're playing in a PGA Tour event. So let's see what he does. He's taking off this week. I think he's taking off Honda. His next stop back will be at the first World Golf Championship of the year, the Cadillac Championships at Doral.
And we look forward to seeing him down there. You're right about it. His whole family being sick, Alex. It was 30 minutes before his tee time on Thursday that he was seriously debating whether to WD or not, and then decided to give it a chance, and he made the best of it. The next name, Jordan Spieth. I have never, in all the years covering golf, heard so much about somebody. And, you know, when you clear away everything, he's won one event on the PGA Tour. There's no doubt he has an unbelievable amount of talent. To me, it's surprising that he's only won once, and that was the John Deere.
Well, I think last year was a bit of a wake-up call. It's a little bit of a sophomore slump, even though he made the Ryder Cup team. Jordan Spieth is fine. His game is starting to come back into form. He's been working pretty hard on some different things. Talked to him at the end of his round last week on Sunday after Pebble. And he's still trying to get some things figured out. He's going to be spending a lot of time with his instructor on Monday in Los Angeles, but felt like he was very close to getting things straightened out. His one problem is he's kind of got this unbelievable cut, which he can't control, something he's never really had before. And because of that, he's not really hitting the ball like he'd like to off the tee, and he's having to recover it more than he'd like to. So he's hoping that it's going to be a quick fix with his instructor. We'll see if that's the case this week at Northern Trust.
So let me get this straight, Alex, for our listeners. If you're a professional and your ball goes to the right, you call it a cut. If you're an amateur and your ball goes to the right, you call it a slice.
That's right.
That's how you can tell whether a guy's an amateur or a pro. What did you just do? I cut it. Wow, you are a pro. All right, time to move on to the True Thailand Classic. It was at Black Mountain. And the interesting thing there was a player in the field nicknamed Coconut who made a hole in one, and he wins a house, but he didn't even make the cut, and he wins a house at the resort. First time ever that I know of where a hole in one winner, a hole in one maker, wins a home, but our man did it, and who won that, Alex?
Well, that was Andrew Dott, the Australian. And it's interesting because he went to Q School, gets his card recently, plays well. It's just an example of that young guys playing well is not just something that happens on the PGA Tour. It's happening everywhere. And this is a good example of it happening now down in Thailand. So I know that we had a chance to hear from Andrew Dott about the win itself.
I was really switched on early. I wanted to get off to a fast start, hold a really nice putt at three to keep the momentum going, and just hung in. The wind picked up a little bit on the back nine. It got pretty tricky towards the end there, but just tried to play as sensible as I could and keep it as smart as I could, and managed to do that. Losing my car was probably a good thing 2 years ago, because I really made me knuckle down and work hard and not take it for granted, but just really work hard and want it back again and want it again. And I've done that at the end of last year, and my form has carried over to the start of this year, and I'm still speechless that this has happened.
All right, as Alex said, just out of Q School, he's a happy man. Speaking of a happy man, can't be anybody happier than Lee Jansen. He wins the Ace Group Classic in a one-hole playoff against Bart Bryant. his first win since 1998. 16 years, 413 starts since his last victory, and that includes all three tours. Lee Jansen, unless anybody's forgotten, two-time U.S. Open winner. I mean, that's impressive in itself.
Well, that's right. I think that Lee Jansen was built for U.S. Open venues and has always been competitive, but the problem is, as you look at him, hasn't won in 16 years. He was never really long. He was built for a U.S. Open, so then when you get him out on normal tour courses, it was hard for him to win, and there's been others like that as well. But now he's won on the Champions Tour, and we'll see what he does with that from here.
Who do you think was the better golfer over the course of their career? Andy North, two-time U.S. Open winner. Lee Jansen, two-time U.S. Open winner.
Well, I think Andy North had injuries. Yeah, if he hadn't had those injuries, a lot of people think that Andy North would have won a lot more.
Well, there you go. Colin Montgomery seemed to have his grip on this tournament till the final day, but I think we're going to be hearing a lot from Monty on that Champions Tour. The LPGA Tour, Alex, they didn't have an event. They're making their way down under to Australia to start an overseas portion of their schedule. Web.com Tour, that's easy. They're off until March. Inside Golf Week. Alex will talk about his feature story on Jim Furyk, who has managed to continue his winless streak. All that when we return. You're listening to The Grill Room, heard on TuneIn and powered by GolfWeek.com.
The Grill Room.
Hi, I'm Ernie Els. Autism is not game over, it is game on. Get educated and learn the facts. Please learn the early warning signs on our website, elsforautism.com, and talk to your doctor about an autism screening if you have any concerns.
Make Coolbrella the next purchase for your golf bag. The Coolbrella is instant portable shade. It's an umbrella that reflects the sun, offering portable, effective protection from the sun. Whether playing or spectating, the Coolbrella protects from the harsh rays of the sun while providing a cool, comfortable shade. For more information on the perfect gift for you or any golfer, log on to Coolbrella.com. That's Coolbrella.com. Coolbrella, instant shade and all-weather comfort.
Sight is one of our most valued senses. Many cherished memories and important life lessons are acquired through sight. Through the Transitions Healthy Sight for Life Fund, we're reaching out in communities around the world to help people understand and protect their healthy sight. Think about what you'd miss seeing if you lost your eyesight tomorrow, and take steps to protect your vision today. See more at HealthySightForLife.org.
Welcome back to The Grill Room. Your table's ready. Now here's Bob Bubka and Alex Maselli.
Time now on The Grill Room to go inside Golf Week. And of course, Alex Maselli had a nice opportunity to write a story on Jim Furyk. It was his first time out in 2015. Physically, he looked in good shape, had the lead after three rounds, but he's had the lead before after three rounds. Is this starting to creep into his psyche a little, Alex?
Well, I don't know if it's creeping into his psyche, Bob. I think, you know, this is the ninth time, I believe it was, that he had led or co-led going in since, I think it's 2012 Transitions Championship in Tampa. But it's certainly something that he's aware of because it's brought to his attention every time he gets himself in this situation. Now, the good news is you get yourself in that situation. The bad news is you don't get the deal done. Now, last week, I think, is a perfect example of how Jim Furyk has to be tremendously disappointed with himself, even though it was his first week of the season, because not only did he not win, but he played poorly. I mean, he shot 74. If you look at the final day scoring, 74 was the worst score, I think, out of the top 56 players in the field at the end of the tournament on Sunday. He had, I think, the fourth or fifth worst score of the day. I mean, nobody was over par in the first 54 guys except for him. So you can't do that when you're leading a golf tournament and the final day. Now, you know, Furyk, if he shoots 68, he's in a playoff, okay? And if he shot 69, he loses by one. All right, you can live with that. You can live with the fact that you played, and you played a decent round. You didn't win, but you played well. His problem is that he doesn't play well a lot in those final rounds, and that has got to be the frustrating part.
That seems to me like that's basically a tough obstacle to overcome unless you just get that one event where everything goes your way and you go on to victory with that 54-hole lead and he can put all this stuff behind him. As it stands now, and you could read more about it on in Alex's great story on Jim Furyk, but as it stands now, it's like a monkey on his back when he tees it up in round four.
Well, I think so. I think that's an accurate assessment now. You know, maybe he's going to win the next time coming from behind, but he's got to find a way to get the job done. He didn't. He said, which is kind of interesting, and I agree with him, in the first four holes on Sunday, he hit the ball as well as he did it in the entire week. And he had numerous chances at birdie and didn't make them. So, you know, you have to get Pebble Beach to the first six or seven holes. If you don't, it's very hard to go ahead and make up ground over the last, like, the last 10 holes or 11 holes. And Jim Furyk didn't make a birdie on the first seven holes and then went ahead and bogeyed eight. All of a sudden, way behind the eight ball.
Yeah, that opening stretch is where you have to make hay.
Hot topic, when talked about. Hot topic, you
breaking
say.
News. It's rumored that Davis Love III will be the next Ryder Cup captain, officially to be announced on February 24th. European Ryder Cup selection also scheduled for next week. First, let me get your impressions, Alex. If it is indeed true and Davis Love is named captain, good choice, poor choice, middle of the road choice?
Well, I don't think it's a poor choice, first of all. I think that when you look at the potential captains that are out there and factoring in what has gone over the last four Ryder Cups, factoring in that we have a task force now, there were very few candidates. Many talked about Fred Couples being a candidate, and I'm not really sure in the PGA of America's mind if Fred Couples ever was a viable candidate. I know the players talked about Fred Couples being a candidate, but I'm not sure that the PGA of America ever thought him as a viable candidate for many reasons. Fred is not. Fred's a great President's Cup captain. It's unclear that he would be a great Ryder Cup captain. He would have required him to spend a lot of time and energy on promoting the Ryder Cup and promoting the team aspect of the Ryder Cup, his team particularly. I'm not sure he had that in him. So I never thought that was the case. So if you take Fred out of the mix, the next guy you probably look at is Paul Azinger. Well, Zinger wanted a lot. He really felt like, you know, if he was going to be the next captain, he wanted to run it exactly the way he wanted to run it. I don't think the PGA of America, again, was willing to give Paul Azinger that carte blanche that he wanted. And once he said that he didn't want to be part of the task force, I think the PGA of America soured on Paul Azinger. So now what do you got left? You got David Toms, which we talked about in the past. I guess legitimately you have Stuart Sink. You have Steve Stricker. But I think that they want Stricker to get a little more seasoning. I think they want Stricker to be the captain at Whistling Straits. So it comes down to there weren't very many people left, and Davis Love was the best choice of what they had, and it doesn't surprise me at all that they took it.
Of course, Davis is going to have a lot on the line. Let me ask you this question, Alex. Who would a defeat, if they chose to be, if they were chosen to be captain, a defeat, who would it crush more? Fred Couples with his outstanding record in President's Cup, or Davis Love losing for the second time as Ryder Cup captain?
Well, I think the Davis one would be a more crushing blow. I don't think there's any question about it. You know, they're picking him to go ahead and try to find a way to win a Ryder Cup on home soil, which he should have done 3 years ago. So I think that would be the more crushing blow.
All right, there it is. You heard it first from Alex Maselli.
When we return, we'll hear Bob's interview with author Roger Terry. It's in the Grill Room. It's all about the lasting legacy of Harvey Penick. You're listening to the Grill Room, heard on TuneIn and powered by GolfWeek.com.
You're listening to The Grill Room.
I'd like to welcome some of the most important people in golf to The Grill Room. Golf course superintendents. Golf course superintendents are the unsung heroes of our great game. And because of their efforts, we now have turf that needs less water, a course that is more sustainable, and one that offers natural wildlife habitats. From the days of old Tom Morris, golf course superintendents have given golfers a reason to love this great game. But don't take my word for it. The Golden Bear agrees.
If you love golf like I do, thank a golf course superintendent.
A message from the Golf Course Superintendents Association of America and local superintendents everywhere.
If a visit to Orlando is on your vacation menu, then the Grill Room highly recommends the Toscana Resort Orlando by Aston, a luxurious Mediterranean-style villa resort located right in the heart of Orlando, Florida's most popular attractions. Each spacious 2- or 3-bedroom luxury villa is fully furnished with everything you might need for your exciting vacation. Relax or play in the large swimming pool complex with kids' pool and jet spa, fitness center, restaurant, and state-of-the-art movie theater. Coming to play golf? Champions Gate Golf Club is right next door. And many other courses are close by and available to play, like Buena Vista Golf Course and Grand Cypress Resort. Visit ToscanaResort.com or call 877-448-8722 to make your reservations today.
Welcome back to the Grill Room. Your table's ready. Now here's Bob Bubka and Alex Maselli.
Not often the Grill Room show can talk to somebody about the Grill Room. In this case, a little bit different, though. This is In the Grill Room, a great book written by Roger L. Terry, and it's really about the absence of Harvey Penick, one of the legendary pros ever to be at a golf club. And, of course, he was the pro at the Austin Country Club, took over as pro back in 1926. Roger, welcome to our Grill Room. And I must say, I really enjoyed your book. What was the genesis for you writing this book?
Well, Bob, thank you for the opportunity to be with you. You're certainly an inspiration to all your listeners, and you certainly had a sterling career in broadcasting, and I very much appreciate being with you. 3 years ago, my daughter, who practices medicine in Austin, and her husband, who's an investment banker, moved with their children to Austin. And my wife and I, wanting to bond with the grandkids, wanted to spend some time there, and we had the privilege of joining Austin Country Club. I was immediately taken with the lingering presence of Harvey Penick there and what reverence the club and the golf world in general holds for Harvey to this day. I can remember sitting in the Grill Room with the boys there at Austin Country Club and saying, you know, I don't see what's such a big deal about this Mr. Harvey Penick. He said, if you dropped a Tom Kite or Ben Crenshaw or Sandra Haney in your lap as a teaching pro, it seems like anyone could produce good results with that type of talent. And when that came out of my mouth, you could hear a pin drop. And I immediately was struck with the fact that I had stuck my foot in my mouth and was immediately struck with what reverence Penick is held to this day among the membership at Austin Country Club. There's a profound respect for him that doesn't exist among many golf teachers. And with the 20th anniversary of Mr. Penick's passing here in April, I thought that some of the old stories that I heard in the Grill Room needed to be told, and thus that's the genesis of my taking the time to capture some of these stories so that the golf world could have the legacy of Mr. Penick preserved.
Well, he certainly was a fantastic teacher, but probably even a better person. And the one thing that always struck me, Roger, and I did take several lessons from him, you didn't fully comprehend what he was trying to tell you, which was always very brief. He didn't bore you with a whole bunch of unnecessary instructions. But about 24 hours later, it always come to you, oh, that's what Harvey was trying to teach me. And I thought that was just an incredible talent on his part. There's so many stories in the book. We don't have time to get to them. I know I enjoyed certainly the fact that Hammerin' Hank Aaron actually took a lesson from Harvey. Can you relate that story for us?
Yes. As you know, Hank was the home run king in the days before the Barry Bonds and the anabolic steroid abuse. Hank Aaron was the Mr. Home Run and held the home run record. He was invited in the early 80s, following his retirement as home run king, to participate in a celebrity event at the Barton Creek Resort, which is nearby there in Austin. And he agreed to come and spend some time at that resort, that celebrity tournament, if he could have the privilege of having a lesson with Harvey Pinnick. And so, lo and behold, he shows up on the practice tee with Mr. Pinnick in the early 80s and proceeds to take a lesson. And Mr. Pinnick's favorite comments giving a lesson were, "That's enough. That's enough now," as he would want to move on to one phase of the lesson. And so Hank came to the practice tee, and Mr. Pinnick had him hit a few wedges. "That's enough, Hank. Can you hit some mid-irons for me?" And he hit some nice mid-irons. "Boy, that's enough, Hank. Very good. I see you hit a few drives." And Hank shows his home run power and blisters a couple 250, 60-yard drives, and then they move to the putting green, and at which time Hank yanks 4, 5, 6 footers dead left of the hole. And Mr. Pinnick walks over, takes his left hand, and rotates his grip in his left hand 15 degrees to the left, asked him to stroke a few more putts, and he nails 6 straight 6-footers right in the dead center of the cup. At which time, Mr. Pinnick says, "That's enough, Hank. You don't need any more of my help. You're a fine athlete," and begins to depart. At which time, Hank says to Mr. Pinnick, he says, "Mr. Pinnick, I've met presidents, kings, and queens, but gosh, you're someone special. I've never met someone quite like you." And Mr. Pinnick utters his famous statement, "That's enough, Hank. It's nice to have met you, too. Have a nice day." And that's a nice little synopsis on the lesson with Hank Aaron, a very simple suggestion to his golf game that only involved the putter. And I found that story very captivating, especially since it was a Hall of Fame golfer as the teacher and the student was a Hall of Fame baseball player.
Well, that certainly sums up how Harvey was with all of his teaching. His basic philosophy is, you know, if the patient needs an aspirin, you give him one. You don't give him the whole bottle. And Harvey used that so many times. Speaking with Roger Terry, who's written this wonderful book called In the Grill Room. It's all about the Austin Country Club in the wake of Harvey Pinnick. The monies raised by the sale of this book are going to go to a couple of great charities.
Yes, Bob, they're going to go to the Junior Golf and the Evans Caddy Scholar Foundation. These have been two areas as a lifelong golfer, which I've always been attached, and proceeds will all go to those two endeavors.
And I just want to say, as we end this, the Austin Country Club now has Pro 3 as he's affectionately called, and that's Dale Morgan, who is an absolute incredible golf professional in his own right. Roger Terry, thanks for taking time out this morning. Certainly enjoyed it, and it is a great read. If you can get your hands on it, it's called In the Grill Room, Contemporary Austin Country Club in Wake of Harvey Pinnock. Certainly want to thank Roger Terry, and if you get an opportunity to read the book, it's In the Grill Room by Roger Terry. It is a good, good read. All right, you're going to hear a little news and notes music in the background, and that's what we're going to cover when the Grill Room returns.
The Grill Room.
Hi, I'm Ernie Els. Autism is not game over, it is game on. Get educated and learn the facts. Please learn the early warning signs on our website, elsforautism.com, and talk to your doctor about an autism screening if you have any concerns.
Make Coolbrella the next purchase for your golf bag. The Coolbrella is instant portable shade. It's an umbrella that reflects the sun, offering portable, effective protection from the sun. Whether playing or spectating, the Coolbrella protects from the harsh rays of the sun while providing a cool, comfortable shade. For more information on the perfect gift for you or any golfer, log on to Coolbrella.com. That's Coolbrella.com. Coolbrella, instant shade and all-weather comfort.
Sight is one of our most valued senses. Many cherished memories and important life lessons are acquired through sight. Through the Transitions Healthy Sight for Life Fund, we're reaching out in communities around the world to help people understand and protect their healthy sight. Think about what you'd miss seeing if you lost your eyesight tomorrow, and take steps to protect your vision today. See more at HealthySightForLife.org.
Welcome back to the Grill Room. Your table's ready. Now here's Bob Bubka and Alex Maselli.
Alex, we got a lot of news and notes to get to, so let's get right after it. Let's begin with Judy Rankin, World Golf Hall of Fame member, 26-time LPGA Tour winner, current broadcaster on the Golf Channel, particularly during LPGA broadcast, has been named the 2015 Ambassador of Golf by the Northern Ohio Golf Charities. She will be honored at the WGC Bridgestone Invitational this August. Very deserving, very lovely person, very good at what she does.
Yeah, she puts a good light on golf in general, and I think she does a very good job, an insightful job on the Golf Channel when she's doing LPGA events. So certainly a well-deserved honor for Judy Rankin.
And, of course, the Ambassador of Golf Award is presented annually to a person who has fostered the ideals of the game on an international level and whose concern for others extends beyond the golf course. Keeping it in the LPGA circle, tour player Morgan Pressel has been awarded the Golf Writers Association of America Charlie Bartlett Award, presented by Aberdeen Asset Management. Morgan Pressel, good winner there, too.
She was. Actually, I voted for her. I think when you read what she did, what she is still doing in regards to breast cancer for her, in honor of her mother, there were very few that rivaled what she's been doing and how successful she's been on what has to be a very difficult budget.
Yeah, absolutely. Congratulations, Morgan Pressel. I'm going to leave this next one to you, Alex. This is really some new digital media, and I don't think anybody on earth knows more about that type of stuff than you do.
Well, I think if you realize the fact that all the leagues want to create their own ability for people to get their content, this idea that the tour is launching a partnership with Bedrocket called Scratch TV, it's just the beginnings of that. I mean, you just extrapolate out. First, the tour is doing things like this. They've been doing a lot of video on their own website. Now they're trying to create a way to do even more with video properties. Next, I think you'll start seeing the remnants of a possible golf network or a tour network that is separate from what the Golf Channel does. And that'll be the ultimate goal, and that's what they're trying to get to, and this is just part of that equation.
And the next item is going to bring a smile not only to your face, but my face also, Alex, and that is Robert Trent Jones Sr., Robert Trent Jones Jr., and Reese Jones, all inducted into the Northern California Hall of Fame. And the thing that I got the biggest kick out of was seeing a high-five salute between Reese and Robert Trent Jones Jr. That's a photograph that probably should be cherished for the rest of our lives.
Yeah, absolutely. It was interesting, because I talked to both brothers, who people may not know that they think it's fair to say they're a bit estranged from each other. And in talking to Reese, who I found in Japan, he said he was caught a little off guard, but the moment and the night, which was honoring their family into the Northern California Golf Hall of Fame, was overwhelming for Reese, and he saw nothing wrong with high-fiving his brother. I talked to Robert on Sunday afterwards, and he never thought that Reese wouldn't participate and was hoping that it would be somewhat of an olive branch. But I can tell you that in talking to Reese, I don't believe that Reese is looking at it as an olive branch.
You know, I'll give you a funny story. I called Reese personally to congratulate him, and there was this weird ring on the other end. And so I quickly hit the end call button. I thought something was wrong. I tried it again. Same thing happened, so I opted to let it ring. And then finally Reese says, "Hey, Bob, how are you doing?" And I said, "Golly, your phone has a weird ring to it." He said, "Bob, I'm in Japan." So I guess when you call cell phone to cell phone from the U.S. to Japan, you get a weird ring somehow. First time I've ever talked to anybody in Japan. I know you do it all the time. All right, let's move on. Royal and Ancient Golf Club of St. Andrews recently announced seven female members had been invited to join as honorary members. Read that list, and I think everyone's certainly deserving. I'd be interested in hearing your comments.
Well, I mean, the list, I mean, the ones that are most interesting are Princess Anne and Annika Sorenstam and Louise Suggs and Dame Laura Davies and Renee Powell. All of them certainly should be honored, and I think makes a lot of sense for the RNA to do. There are others involved. There are other women involved as well, including Carol Simple Thompson has been, and Martha Lang, both very accomplished players in their own right. I think at the end of the day, what the RNA has done is they've, just like what Augusta National was doing, is they're trying to find players, or in this case, female players, that fit with what they are and who they are. And it's a very exclusive club to get into, and they don't want to change that. They never really had a problem with women, but it was clear that where things were going, they needed to make some adjustments, and they've done that.
Sadly, we must finish on a sad note. Rhonda Glenn, 68-year-old Rhonda Glenn, a groundbreaker in television broadcasting, a longtime USGA employee, and an author who literally wrote the book on women's golf, passed away from pancreatic cancer on February 12th. She was a wonderful person. She was a good friend. I know she was a friend of yours, Alex, and she's certainly going to be missed.
Well, absolutely. She will be. And known Rhonda for a long time. Didn't know that she had been ill, but in talking to our LPGA writer at Golf Week, Beth Ann Nichols, she was very familiar with what had been going on with Rhonda. And when I called Beth Ann on Sunday, she said she had a card that she was signing, she was getting filled out and sending to Rhonda because for her illness. But, you know, it's a terrible thing. Our business has only a few people that we know very, very well. It's a very close community, and Rhonda Glenn was part of that community.
And Beth Ann Nichols has written a great tribute, and you can read that in Golf Week. And Rhonda, you will be missed.
You're listening to The Grill Room.
I'd like to welcome some of the most important people in golf to the Grill Room. Golf course superintendents. Golf course superintendents are the unsung heroes of our great game. And because of their efforts, we now have turf that needs less water, a course that is more sustainable, and one that offers natural wildlife habitats. From the days of old Tom Morris, golf course superintendents have given golfers a reason to love this great game. But don't take my word for it. The Golden Bear agrees.
If you love golf like I do, thank a golf course superintendent.
A message from the Golf Course Superintendents Association of America and local superintendents everywhere.
If a visit to Orlando is on your vacation menu, then the Grill Room highly recommends the Toscana Resort Orlando by Aston, a luxurious Mediterranean-style villa resort located right in the heart of Orlando, Florida's most popular attractions. Each spacious two- or three-bedroom luxury villa is fully furnished with everything you might need for your exciting vacation. Relax or play in the large swimming pool complex with kids' pool and jet spa, fitness center, restaurant, and state-of-the-art movie theater. Coming to play golf? Champions Gate Golf Club is right next door. And many other courses are close by and available to play, like Buena Vista Golf Course and Grand Cypress Resort. Visit ToscanaResort.com or call 877-448-8722 to make your reservations today.
Welcome back to the Grill Room. Your table's ready. Now here's Bob Bubka and Alex Maselli.
Racing to the first tee, knowing what fun it will be.
What's next on the schedule? Let's head to the first tee and find out. All right, Alex, let's begin on the European Tour, the Hero Indian Open. Same sponsor, right, as Tiger's event?
Correct, same sponsor, just in a different continent, where Tiger's event will be played in the United States, down in Isleworth. This event is being played at the Delhi Golf Club in New Delhi, India. And I believe the Indian Open has been around for a while, but this is the first time that Hero has been involved with it.
All right, Champions Tour, Alex, off until mid-March. Nice little break for those guys. The LPGA Tour, ISPS, Handa, Australian Women's Open at Royal Melbourne Golf Club, one of my favorite golf clubs in the world, Corey Webb, defending there. And, of course, where you're at, Alex, the Northern Trust Open at Riviera Country Club, Hogan's Alley, defending champion Bubba Watson. There is something very special about the Riviera Country Club. Maybe you feel the presence of Ben Hogan. It's just a spectacular golf course.
No, it is. It's unfortunate it hasn't served as a host to more majors. It has served. The last time was the PGA Championship. But it would be a great U.S. Open venue. It would be a great venue for any major. And this year, from what I understand, the course is in terrific shape, which probably means the rough is up. It is probably the hardest place to play out of the rough on the PGA Tour.
It's where I heard maybe the greatest line ever from Jack Nicklaus as it regards to me. The Senior Open was being held there. I was working for the USGA, interviewing players as they finished their round. We were secluded in basically what was the telephone room, a little dark room underneath the clubhouse. But it was nice and quiet, and it fit our purposes well. And all of a sudden, they told me, Jack's coming in next. So a member of the USGA comes in the front door with Jack, and Jack stops, sees me, and he says, my. You used to chase me, now they're bringing me to you. And I laughed so hard. I said, Jack, greatest line I've ever heard from you. Hey, there's going to be some good players playing there. Sergio Garcia making his 2015 debut. Victor Dubuisson making his 2015 debut. Jimmy Walker will be there. Fred Couples, I think, is the most amazing story. This is going to be his 33rd appearance in this event.
Well, Bob, you know, he loves playing here. They give him sponsors exemptions all the time. He's competitive. If his back is okay, he'll be competitive on this golf course. So it'll be truly interesting to see what happens, especially with all the discussion that we're going to be having this week on Ryder Cup, President's Cup, and everything else.
By the way, Alex, as the Golf Course Superintendents Association of America is our newest partner, and we're certainly proud of that, let's just mention that Matthew Morton is the superintendent at Riviera. What's the weather predicted for, Alex? I know you have your wife coming out to spend some time with you. You going to have a good week?
Well, supposedly we're going to have a great week weather-wise, which is what's happened in San Diego, which is what happened at Pebble Beach. So just another week of great weather here on the West Coast. And so I'm looking forward to it, Bobby.
Well, I don't blame you and all the people on the East Coast. Just have faith. Be careful. This horrific winter weather has to come to an end sometime, and it'll be springtime, and we'll be down at the Masters.
Another week in the books. You're listening to The Grill Room, heard on TuneIn, powered by GolfWeek.com. By the way, you can also hear The Grill Room on iTunes, SoundCloud, Audio Boom, and of course on our website, TheGrillRoom.com.
A big thank you to our partners, the Golf Course Superintendents Association of America, and to GolfWeek.com. So for Janice Self, Alex the Man Maselli, and myself, Bob Bubka, thank you for being part of our Grill Room family. Please follow us on Twitter at TGR Golf and on Facebook at The Grill Room Golf Show.
Thanks for spending some time in The Grill Room. No need to leave a tip. Just come back again next week. The Grill Room.